You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast, where every week we come to you and we give you all the details about all the 90 Day universes and all our frustrations all in one go. It is the Hot Mess Express, and I am your host and conductor, Puya Zandvakili. I hope you're having a good time. It's been a rough week with 90 Day stuff, but I'm very excited to talk about it today, because I've got an amazing guest with me, ready to break it all down. Mari is back in the building once again. Mari, how are you doing?
Choo-choo! I am back. I am excited. I am taking tickets. All aboard. Get on the Hot Mess Express. I'm so excited to be talking about Other Way with you. Last time I was here, I only got to talk about Happily Ever After. So now to complete the circle and talk about Other Way, we got a great episode. When I tell you I'm excited, I am excited.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get all your takes about the Other Way people. I can't wait to find out who your faves are, who you hate, who are we on the same page on. It's all going to happen today. And honestly, we got a pretty decent episode to talk about. A lot happened.
Oh my God. So much happened with like at least half of the couples had so much going on.
Yeah. Half of them were there and then the other half were just there.
Right.
So. You know how it is with the format here, Mari. I'm going to pass it on to you. You pick whichever couple you want to kick us off here with first, and we'll move on.
I mean, I don't want to talk about them, but I feel like now it's like an obligation. Like, we have to talk about Cheese Stick and My Lisa first, because we just want to get them out of the way. They are so boring. I counted. They got a 5-minute clip 30 minutes into the episode, and that was it. And I was like, thank you. I need no more. But I did want to ask, because I missed it. Why do we call him Cheese Stick?
This is a great question. This happened at some point early on in the season. I remember, I think it's a Reddit thing, if I remember correctly, or it had something to do with him liking something in the first episode. But basically, the reason I remember it, and I've kept calling him this, is because when I was first given this podcast to do, Liana came on with me to do the Happily Ever After recap to catch us up all the way to where we were. And then when I was going to go do the Other Way recap, she said, and I'm quoting, please only refer to Tim as Cheese Stick. And I said, you got it. So I don't remember the origin. I remember that it makes sense that we call him this, and it is a reference. Yep. It's not just a Liana thing. So we're good.
And I'm good. And I now see people calling him Cheese Stick on Twitter. So I'm like, yep, it's a thing. It's officially a thing. Yeah. So I'm good. But so we get them and we open up with their 5-minute clip. Just reiterating what the past scenes from the previous episodes, I don't care. I really do not care. At this point, I'm just yelling at my screen, give it up, Delicious. Like, this is not a relationship they should be in, like, clearly. And it feels like it's just for the cameras. But anyways, so Cheese Stick decides that his mom is coming. And he says, oh, I'm starting to doubt but my Lisa because she slept with someone. I'm like, sir, like, and then he was like, talking to her, when he was talking to her and she was like, he's like, yeah, you know, I don't know if we should bring it up to my mom. And her face when she was like, what? Like, why would you bring it up to your mom? And their little back and forth, like me, I'm sitting here, why would you tell your mom? Like, I agree that it's kind of like, it's a weird situation in a sense, like, he cheated. She slept with someone when they were on a break. Was that break established? It's a whole mess. But I kind of agreed with my Lisa here. Like, the mom didn't need to be included in the mess specifically because it didn't happen during their relationship. So Tim wanting to tell his mom is just to mitigate his own guilt. Like, we know this. You just want to mitigate your own guilt because you've been on this apology tour for your for your cheating. So he wants her to be in that position too. And she's like, I'm not apologizing for shit. So it's kind of like, it's so funny. Like, people really hate my Lisa because she gives us nothing. But half the time I'm on her side, I'm just like, girl, like, what are you doing? I thought it was so funny when she was sitting here like, this is my personal business. Why would we tell your mom? Especially when he knows his mom, him and her, his mom and her don't get along to begin with. I'm like, he really just wants to not seem like the bad person in this relationship. He wants her to be kind of the bad person too. And it's just like, y'all need to just please, just give it up, please. But I thought that was, interesting. I didn't know about the fight and why him and her and the mom are on bad terms, like them yelling at each other and throwing things. And then the mom threatened to call the police on her. I didn't know that. I don't know if they've said that in our previous episode, but I must have missed it.
No, I mean, to my knowledge, I only re-caught that on the rewatch. So I don't think it's come up before that this, I thought the strained relationship just came from the whole, like, if the mom had different stances on what their coupling was like, or she resented her for taking him away from her and taking him to Colombia, right, whatever the case. But no, there seems to be like some valid reasoning behind it there. I will say, more and more the pendulum for me has started swinging away from, Tim is trash to y'all both trash.
Like,
it's like one is like a very fancy Glad brand bag. The other one is store-bought. Like, there's not really that different. I will say that I found the whole, so I found it weird that Tim called his aunt Carmen in one sentence, but then Carmen in the other was like, pick, are you the type that says aunt or uncle in front of the name or no? Because right. I feel like I am, and I would never deviate. So that bothered me a little bit.
It was weird. Just me. Yeah, it's like the hefty bags with the diamond, like the Force Flex, versus the 99 cent store trash bag that breaks immediately after you take it out.
Yeah,
the trash can. Like, there's no good people here, guys.
Yeah, and it's like it's funny because like with the heavy duty bags, you know, you can get away with filling that boy up to the top and then throwing it out and carrying it to the bin, you're fine. Whereas with the 99 cent bag, you have to really swap that out every like 12 hours because it cannot withstand more garbage.
So, you got a double bag.
Yeah. And I feel like in this instance, Tim might be a little bit more heavy duty of a bag just because he has definitely handled a lot more from Melisa and her family with the having to be like walked around naked with the shame bell like you're doing Game of Thrones.
Shame.
Yeah. It's shame. Only in his instance it's cheating. Cheater.
Right.
Yeah. And then, but like Melisa can't handle it. So the thing is, I agree that they were on whatever a break was established or not, but they were not really together, like wholeheartedly together. So even there might be some bit of a pass, but I kind of low-key, I was like, hey, if Tim wants to talk to his mom about it, he should be, because you talk to your brother and his friend about this before you talk to him.
That is true. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, she's also, we've seen another scene in that very same episode where she talked to her mom about this as well. So if she can talk to her mom and her brother and her friend about this stuff, he should be able to be allowed to talk to his own mom. I understand that her worry comes from the fact that the relationship is strained. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue. But I think her other thing is she feels like if this happens, there's more of an I told you so aspect. There's more of a, hey, I'm also in the wrong a little bit. And I don't think she's willing to see that. And I mean, honestly, what else is left to talk about?
Honestly, there's not much. And it just like they have never been on the same page, on the same book. They've never, ever seems like they've been in a space where they're both understanding what's going on, to be quite honest, because I also didn't realize, like, I mean, I guess I realized it, but like, I didn't realize he cheated on her when she was in the States, like with him, living with him.
I didn't clock that it wasn't a long distance cheat.
Right. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So basically that's our whole relationship. I will say, the way he pronounces us was weird. But yeah, me and Liana walked around the rest of the day talking about us. So definitely more cheesesteakisms there. But yeah, I mean, this relationship shouldn't work, right? And I don't think it's gonna work. It just makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. And they're stretching. They're stretching like hell for this couple. Like, they have no content for them.
Yeah, it always feels like 90 Day will find like five couples with some compelling storylines that they can work. But there's always like that sixth backup couple where it's like, we're probably not gonna need you and we'll shove you in some episodes, but ultimately you're gonna give me nothing. And that's right. I mean, for God's sake, one of the episodes with them was, oh, I'm Tim and I'm gonna get in a cab to go to the workplace to only find out I need a work permit. Like, that's all it really was. That was the whole arc. He could have Googled that and would have been okay. So yeah, let's see, is there anything else we need to talk about here with
not
regards to them
at all? Nope.
I think, yeah, I thank you for doing the listeners a service by getting this out of the way, and now we can get into more of the meat and potato groups. Actually, you know what? No, because one couple I feel like really got the short end of the stick here as far as storyline goes. So let's just go to them real quick and let's talk about Kenny and Armando.
Yep.
So they had not one scene, unlike Tim and Melissa. They had two scenes, two whole scenes.
Was it two? Okay. I thought it was three. I don't know. But it was one long trip that could have been in one scene if they wanted it to.
Yes. So basically, we come into them doing their getting ready their paperwork for the marriage license. Armando finds out they have to write a letter, kind of like a petition to get their marriage done. Kenny's worried about the age gap, and yeah, it all comes down to the fact that same-sex couples have had problems getting approved. So they're hoping for the best. They're getting all the papers ready and everything. That's scene one. In scene two, they go to the office. They're given a negative answer, which we've seen that specific clip advertised multiple times since the show's come back, of like, I'm afraid we have to give you a negative answer.
Right.
And basically it boiled down to this. The law says no, they cannot get married, but the Constitution says yes, they can get married. And it's very clear that this office is aware of this problem, because the person that was helping them out told them essentially, you need to go to the human rights office and you need to file a complaint, and then that will get your file moving along. And my thing that I loved most about this, Mari, is that that lady helped them out and was really into helping them out, and that warmed my heart up.
Yeah, she looked like she was helpful. She didn't look like she was judgy. I liked that part. At first I got scared, but then she was like, I will walk you through it, I will get you started, and that was very heartwarming.
Yeah. So then my other thing I want to ask is, since you haven't gotten a chance to talk about them yet, what's your overall thoughts about Kenny and Armando?
So Kenny and Armando overall, I've agreed with everything like you and Sasha said and you and Jason have said. And it's just for them, it's like, it's weird because they're good, but their circumstances around them aren't good. Like, those outside forces is what's really giving them the conflict. And that's like, that's the sad thing about this storyline, and how we were saying how it was really sad early on. But then, like, these last few episodes, I mean, with Hannah, you know, everything with Hannah was really nice, very lighthearted, very warm, you know, minus Kenny getting upset that he can't parent her.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I love them as a couple. Of course, I'm rooting for them. I think they're just a small they're just a few tweaks away from being like happy and perfect, as opposed to some of these these couples who are truly train wrecks, you know? So I'm rooting for them hardcore.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're the one I'm really rooting for. I mean, they've mm-hmm. done nothing wrong. Their only fault is they're on TV, really. I mean, that's their overarching fault. The other fault is that, Kenny, for the love of God, please learn some Spanish.
Like, yes. Oh, my. Yeah. When they sat down with the lady and they asked, oh, do you know English? She's like, no. He's like, she don't know English. Like,
it's like, oh, well, I'm going to be your translator again. Whoop-de-doo, let's go. Yeah, I think that I think they're gonna be okay. I have a feeling they're gonna be fine. This isn't that bad. And honestly, every bad situation that Kenny and Armando have gone through within the show, mm-hmm. it looks like it's all started to move into a positive place already. So the worry was with the dad. What would the dad do? The dad is taking steps to be accepting and loving his son. The mom, same thing. The Hannah, they have Hannah now. They're happy. He got to do a proposal with his mm-hmm. family there. That was lovely. So it's all building up to this wedding. And I don't see any reason why it's not going to work out, given the context, given what we've seen. They just seem like such a loving couple. And I look forward to the celebration when we get to, I'm assuming, the finale and they can get married. Because if that's not how this ends, I'm going to be upset.
Very, very much so. I did find in those two clips, I found it really interesting. So, and like you said, in the first clip, Kenny was just like, oh, will it be something about the age? I was like, dude, the age? You really think it's going to be the age?
Like, now, unless the committee the marriage committee is run by Sumit's parents, this is not going to be a problem for you.
And Armando was like, no, it's not gonna be about the age. And then Kenny was very optimistic. He was like, oh, it's okay, you know we're gonna do this, it's fine, we're gonna go, it's all good. And you know, Armando was very, he's like, we gotta write this petition, it's something mm-hmm. straight couples don't have to do. And he was like, he's very like kind of like pessimistic in a sense. Then they get to the document lady, they start talking to her, and immediately Armando is like, this is good, this is good, they're gonna help us, you know, it's mm-hmm. a few extra steps, but you know, it's not that bad. And then Kenny starts crying and he's like, this is the worst thing ever, this brought me back to a dark mm-hmm. place. And I just was like, it's really interesting how their worldviews, how they responded to the same type of conflict, seeing different worldviews, in a sense that Kenny is optimistic. It doesn't seem like much has really not gone his way, you know, not barring any of the gay rights stuff that he went through, like early in his adult mm-hmm. life and stuff like that. But you can tell in America where he's from, it's not that big of a deal. You know, he hasn't had to struggle with anything pertaining to homophobia like that much from where he's from. And Armando is the exact opposite. That's all he's stressed about, and that's all he's worried about. And he's so about tempering his expectations to the point where when something so little happens, he's so happy, like his father just greeting Kenny and saying hi to Kenny is a win, which it is. Mm-hmm. But like, you see what I'm saying, like the different levels of their temperament is what fueled this response. And it's just interesting. It makes me think that they are good for each other. They kind of balance each other out, you know, the eternal optimist versus the pessimist or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just, I thought that was really interesting to see their reactions, because again, Armando was like, that was better than I thought. And Kenny was like, this is the worst thing ever, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we've talked about how it doesn't seem like Kenny has definitely had to face some adversity with regards to being accepted for who he is. But I was also mm-hmm. a while ago, right? We know that it's been a while.
Decades. Also,
yeah, and everything we're talking about here makes, I think this is like the type of thing that, you know, they talk about opposites attract. I think it's necessary. You need someone mm-hmm. who's an optimist, who's a more of a dreamer, who like sees the, you know, the silver lining in things. And then you need someone else to kind of pull that person back down and be like, listen, let's be a little bit more realistic. This can be bad potentially. Let's not just assume it's going to be good. They kind of like balance each other out. I do think he's more of a doom and gloom guy a little bit more than the realist, but that's fine. I think he'll come to terms with it. Again, the big thing is the language barrier doesn't help. And like, obviously, when you can't speak the language anywhere, you're going to feel a little bit self-conscious. You don't know what they're saying. People are like, like, you know, they're talking to Armando and they're looking at him every now and then. He might feel some type of way about that. Like, I don't know what they're saying about me. So that's all fine. Right. But I do think that ultimately they're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine with them. And we wish them luck.
Yeah. And just real quick, I know a couple of people are probably like, well, that doesn't make sense. The Constitution says yes, but the law says no.
Can you give us an insight on that?
So my insight, which is so very little in a sense, DC kind of has something like that. Well, we did. I don't know if it's been remedied with like the last few elections, but DC basically had legalized marijuana. But like the board was federally okayed for the district, but then like legislative wise, it wasn't. Like, they were still trying to figure out distribution and who could partake, and they were still trying to hammer all of that out. So there was a time in DC where DC was legal. You can legally buy weed from people, but you technically cannot legally buy weed from people. So,
right.
So what they did was, if you like, you would go to a shop and you would purchase a t-shirt for $30. And with that t-shirt, you get free weed. You know what I'm saying? It was like, and each t-shirt would be a different, like, that was the way, that was the workaround.
Right.
Yeah. That was the workaround. I did not partake, but I looked at, when I was in college, it was a thing that we studied, because talking about the different legislations. So I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that reminded me exactly about like weed in DC. So hopefully, you know, it'll, like she said, it's going to take some laws, some more legislation to get through, and hopefully it'll hammer down and they'll get their, you know, their same sex approval so that no more couples have to do the runaround.
This is good. Yeah, I'm really happy someone was here to explain this a little bit to me. It is confusing, but it kind of does make sense. I do remember when it, well, back to weed again, because I've, you know, again, we all went to university at the time. Right. This is a big issue in the university. Yeah, well, when it went legal in Canada, it was kind of the same thing. Everyone's like, oh my God, are we good from tomorrow? It's like, no.
Right.
You're not good. It's a step, but it's not like fully done. So I do think that makes sense. And we can now move on to the next couple of your choosing.
Yes. Okay. So let's get to the third couple, who was kind of like a little bit of flash, but not much going on. We got to go with our faves, a lot of people's faves, good faves, Jenny and Sumit.
Jenny and Sumit. Let's go.
Ooh. Okay. So this was kind of interesting. I mean, I do kind of feel like if you would say like, oh, they're not really advancing as much. You know, I think they're advancing more than Cheese Stick, maybe a little bit more than Kenny and Armando, but it's still kind of in a standstill type of thing, minus the big hurdle that they got over with Sumit finally getting divorced. So Sumit heads up to court. Jenny stays home. Wise decision. And he meets his dad and his friend, and his dad has the money for his in-laws. And he said he got it from their relatives and friends, and they scraped it together. I was like, yeah. I found that very interesting. In the bank. So I guess he took a loan out or something to pay for that. So that was interesting. But the divorce is done. Sumit was feeling free. He looked happy. The whole family in themselves feel like a little happier, like him and his friend, his dad were like, you know, they were excited, and you can tell they were all excited. But immediately talking to your dad about Jenny, like in the midst of like these good feelings, I was like, maybe you could have like pumped the brakes and get him on like on another day or something. Because right, am I okay? Because he was immediately like, okay, so about Jenny, like I want to marry her and da da da. His father was having none of it. He kept calling her that lady. And he said, you can't make a baby. And then he just like straight up said, like, we will never accept the marriage. Me and your mother will never accept the marriage, which I don't think many of us were surprised. I'm pretty sure you and Jason covered it last week. I've been liking the Jenny and Sumi storyline. I mean, not much movement, just I need to get a divorce. I need to talk to my parents. I got to get a blessing. So this was the first episode where they got like a huge hurdle out the way. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Also, Sumi turning down a Rohit, I can't say his friend's name. Job for him after he it sounded like he begged him for the job a little bit, and it was like, well, I need more money than that.
I will look forward to the next time I'm hanging out with some friends and I can hit him up with the question, can I get some crumbs? Can I get some crumbs up in here? Yeah. So, first of all, I 1000% agree with you that the move would have been, hey, we just got through this big win. Maybe I don't bring up to my dad who just, you know, put out another 10K on me to, you know, give me his blessing to marry Jenny. Like, let the dust settle a little bit. And I understand
a little
that,
bit.
Yeah. And like, I understand that they're in a time crunch because, like, you know, the whole, like, Jenny wants to get married so she can stay permanently. And, like, that's a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, they got to understand that this is a delicate situation. When he, because I think that's the thing, is that he looked at this with rose-colored glasses. He looked at his dad's blessing and thought, like, it was better than it actually was. And I thought this initially as well, when he left his parents and thought, oh, they're more accepting. It didn't seem like all that much. And to hear the words, literally the words of, we will not let this happen. We are going to do everything we can to legally prevent this from happening at any cost.
Yeah, I think they were just more accepting of okaying his divorce because they saw how much the divorce really affected him. But I think he took that to mean that he applied that to Jenny, but I don't think that's what the parents meant.
Yeah, I think that the parents' mindset was, if we give him the divorce, maybe then he will find freedom to, like, really just figure himself out and not be like, because I think they kind of thought maybe Jenny was like the emotional support that he was clinging on to. And here's the thing with that, right? The thing with that is that unlike Brittany, when this divorce happens, he's not going to be like, oh, you know what? Like, I want to pump the brakes. Because again, there's a whole other immigration side of things with this where he wants Jenny to stay there permanently. But again, my biggest qualm with this, Mari, is that Jenny can just fly and then come back in like a week. Like, that's not that big of a problem. That is, like, understand, like, there's flight and plane tickets involved, but that will give you another 6 months to sort this stuff out. I feel like putting the pressure on his family, again, they just went through financial hardship over this. They've already been having a rough time with this age gap thing that they're trying to, like, get their heads around. So it kind of comes off as a little bit, and I could see it in his eyes. Like, he's simple. Like, he, I didn't agree with Jason's take of, like, he's going to just, like, leave once this happens.
Yeah.
He loves her and he wants to be with her. So I could see the genuineness in his eyes when he's talking to his dad. However, like, you're getting a little cocky, kid. You just got 20K for free off your dad. Like, and, like, he's saying, like, he got it from a bunch of sources, not like a one lump sum. I'm assuming he borrowed some from this family member, that friend, business partner. Like, it's a whole thing that he's gonna pay back. And then the interesting thing in this whole situation is he's talking about this initially where, I'm gonna pay you back. His dad's like, yeah, good, you have to, so that's happening. And then he says, well, what are your sources of income, or what are you doing? He's like, I'm working at a friend's cafe part-time, and I can't do more because Jenny doesn't want me out of the house because she feels which, like, that doesn't help that that's how Jenny's coming up, and then you're gonna marry her. Like, that's not great.
Somebody on Twitter said, this is Sumi getting a sneak peek of what senior care with Jenny's going to be like.
Oh, my God. No.
That's horrible. Oh. But yeah, like, yeah, she can't be alone because she doesn't feel comfortable. I get it. She's still in a country that she doesn't know the language. But like you said, we're just coming off this divorce. You're 20K in the hole off jump. He needs to be working. And I mean, it might not be good. It probably won't the relationship might be in trouble if this happens. But if he's 20K in the hole, he doesn't have a steady job because he's worried about you. And then you're running up against the time frame of her having to leave and come back or to leave. Then it might just be better that she leaves and then come back. She leaves for a while. He works to get that money. Get at least some of it banked, because that's what they'll want. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll catch more flies with honey than vinegar if he pays his parents back and then be like, hey, can I get your blessing now? You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a better road. I still don't think they'll do it, but it's a better road than being like, hey, dad, thanks for the 20K. Now give me your blessing to marry this lady who will never bear you grandchildren.
Right. And like, that's the big thing that his parents have been vocal about, is that they mm-hmm. want grandkids. Like, they want like that family. And the dad did have a line which was like, this is not the type of relationship that will make a family. And that's right. What it means.
Yep.
No children, like no mm-hmm. kids. So I do think that I agree with you. I feel like patience is a virtue here. They're mm-hmm. clearly, they've been okay with him living with her at this point, because there's not been no kidnapping like last season, or no right. problems there. No like messy situations. They're okay with him living with her. Just take it slow. Like, the thing is, I know they've been waiting for a long time, right? So it's rough. I'm like, but I say take it slow if you want your parents' blessing and if you need your parents' blessing. You yeah. can't steamroll them into giving you what they want, because they're not gonna giving you what you want, because they're not gonna do that. It's very clear. He said, by any means necessary, this isn't happening. So
yeah.
Then the next scene we got was him going to Rohit. Again, Rohit's like the biggest G. He is a partner in crime. He is a driver, a tea drinker, a court appointed court sidekick, everything. And now he has his own like, what was
business?
This? Digital media.
Digital marketing. Started. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
which is that a fancy way to say like call center? Like, I'm not trying to be like, I don't know if that's not good to say, yeah, like, but
I don't know. It's the same thing of like someone saying I'm a social media manager. I'm like, so I don't know. Are you like running like multiple social media accounts of like businesses, or are you tweeting on behalf of your like YouTuber friend? Like, who? What's the deal?
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
Yeah, these titles, you never know. But I will say that it was stupid of Sumit to be like, can I get some crumbs, but also 100 a week? No, thank you. Like, right. Bro.
Can I get crumbs, but larger crumbs, please?
Yeah, and like larger crumbs, but also I don't know what the job is. And let's just say, and I love the way you phrase it, let's just say I'm going to learn. Like,
yes.
Okay, then here's $100 for you to, because we're friends, I'm going to give you $100 a week and you learn on the job, and maybe you can do some stuff with this later. And he also said, that's all I can give you to start. It's not necessarily a locked sum, and we don't yeah. know what the hours were. It just sounded like he was like, 100? No.
Yeah. And it seems like it wasn't that many hours, didn't it? I thought he said like 3 to 4, but I could be making that up, but it seemed like it wasn't that long. And you're right. Like, he straight up said, I'm not qualified for this job, but what can you do for me? Oh, I can give you 100 a week. Oh no, I need more than that. Sir, like, you just openly admitted that you're not qualified.
Yeah.
With golf.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I understand, like, because the whole thing with Jenny not wanting him to be working is because she, well, I think part of it is separation anxiety, especially given mm-hmm. what happened last time. Yeah. The other thing is, like, they talk about the area they're in, the location they're in. And he's like, well, this is all I can afford, so we have to be here, which is kind of, you're putting yourself in a catch-22 because you got to go out to make the money to get out of living in this situation. But you can't do that if you're always at home. So you have to just bite the bullet and do it, I think. Especially Jenny should be cognizant of the fact that, we need to get money for multiple reasons. First, pay off his family, then move out of here. Like, there's a lot that needs to happen. And she's been one of the ones that was vocal about the fact that they are running out of money. Because they're living off her savings.
Right. So maybe I miss it, but what is her plans for, like, living in India? Is she really just expects him to provide totally for both of them? Like, does she?
We've never heard anything about her wanting to take what's it called? We didn't hear anything about her wanting to take a job at any point. I do believe the assumption is that he's going to be the bread provider. But also the other thing I would like to speak on is the fact that Jenny and Sumit haven't really figured it out. I think they're so convinced and concerned about getting their
divorce.
Yeah, getting the divorce and getting married, that they're overlooking completely the fact that marriage and living together and a house and a family, like, all of that is going to take so much time, so much money. And they can't get that by living the way they've been living right now.
Right. And like we already said, the only way to make those decisions is patience, time that they might not have, at least together in India. I really think they've been together for what? Four years or something like that. Maybe longer. It's been longer than that or something. Like, they've known each other for a really long time, right? He was like 25 or something, they said.
It's like been when a she minute. First it's been many years.
7 years or something like that. So I feel like they shouldn't rush this last part here, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, is that I mean, coming from a relationship that had a long time, long distance component before it was an in-person component, there was a lot of like, well, we need not worry. You know, let's not think about this. There's going to be delays. We got to just roll with the punches, take it a day at a time. And that gets harder when you start seeing the finish line.
Exactly. That makes sense.
And the minute this divorce happened, it's like, oh my God. So literally, we're no longer legally binded by a cage. Now we just need them to say yes and we're married and it's over. It's over. This whole, everything we've been chasing is done. But I don't think what they've realized is that it was more of a three-part finale, and part one was the divorce. Part two is the blessing, and then part three is the marriage. So
yeah, that's blessing, such a good point.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, and especially given that, again, I think in the parents' eyes, they're like, we're letting you live with this, quote, dad's quote, this lady. What else do you need from us?
Yeah, I'm sorry, keep going. Sorry.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, at one point, the dad was like, you know, you're living with her, but why do you have to marry her? I was like, sir, what? Like, you're like, we're okay with you trolloping with her, but not marrying her. I found that very interesting, the way he put that. He was like, yeah, you can live with her, but you don't need to marry her. I was like, oh, okay. So what is it, like a waiting game? And like,
right.
Okay, well. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and the only indication we got of where this goes next week is the next time on indicated that Jenny and Sumit are going to talk about the conversation he had with his dad, but he doesn't bring it up to her that night. He tells her the next day, and it looks like she has a problem with that, which to Jenny, I would say, Jenny, why would he want to ruin your celebration of waiting for his divorce with this bad news, especially if it's not going to change anything?
Exactly.
Yeah.
My thought exactly. I was like, well, girl, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like 2-3 weeks later.
Like, you've been to where the stance was. It's not like anything changed since the divorce, right? Like, it's not like his opinion on the marriage thing changed overnight. It was always that way. But I think, again, this might be Simi's own fault for making it seem like everything was a lot smoother than it actually was.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, so then now we're down to, I think now the three remaining couples, we got more storyline for.
We got it all.
Which direction I want to go? Because I have opinions on all three, and I'm like, like anger opinions.
Yes.
Let's see. Part of me wants to get this one out of the way because to me it's the more like intense one. So let's talk about Brittany and Yasin.
Okay.
I would say they probably had the most storyline this week. There was a lot of it.
Yeah.
I think they had to catch us up to her going to Jordan, which at the end of the episode, we find out she's literally on her way to the airport. So Brittany and Yasin, where we were left with last time is not in a good place. Like we've talked about ad nauseum at this point, him sacrificing, you know, he got kicked out of his house, fired from his job. He had to start from scratch all over again. He has two jobs. He's got a cab thing that he's doing and he's got a barbershop. So he's doing the most trying to get everything together in order for Brittany to move in there with him and get married with him. So Yasin goes to meet up with his brother and try and convince his brother to talk to his dad for him, because obviously his dad's not going to want to see his face anywhere. And we find out that there's been hella rumors going around in their community about Brittany and Yasin already being married, already living together, that they've had sex, and that they're recording sexy videos, aka sex tapes, if we want to get technical with it. And he wants to set his dad, he wants to talk to his dad because Brittany's pulling up to Jordan at the end of the week is what we were told. And he wants his brother to vouch for him and he wants his dad's blessing so that he can get married to her, basically.
Right.
And yeah, go for it. What are your thoughts on all this as we get cracking into the Brittany and Yasin stuff?
I have so many thoughts. I legit thought they were going to wrap it up. But I would say, this was so nerve-wracking. Between being very nerve-wracking on Yasin's part and then just Brittany being completely oblivious, I was just like, I want to strangle somebody. Like, it was so, like, Yasin talking to his brother was like so heartbreaking, like the first conversation, and you could just really see they miss each other. Oh my god, that was like so sad. And then his brother was like, okay, I'll talk to dad for you, you know. I really thought, and when we kept seeing this part on all the teasers, I thought, I don't know why I really thought that was his uncle when I first saw it. But
I did too. I didn't realize it was his dad. I thought about,
right.
And I didn't think about it till this episode. I'm like, hey, stupid. Wasn't his uncle the one that was vouching for him? Why would his uncle want to kill him? I was like, oh yeah.
That makes sense. Right.
Yeah. You're right. I told myself, I was like, okay. Yeah. I guess I see.
Right. That makes, cause I was in the same boat. I was like, oh, I thought that was his uncle, but his dad saying he would straight up murder him was so chilling and so sad. And I'm just like, it's not fun anymore. Like, I was kind of like, I was like, TLC, like, can we do something here? Like, it was just, it was very sad. And it was just, I like his brother said, like, you didn't see the look in dad's eyes when, his brother went back to him and said, you know, just why are you with Brittany? Just like leave her alone. And I'm like yelling at my TV, please, for the love of God, just leave her alone, because he shouldn't be going through everything he's going through for her to be doing what she's doing on the other side of the world. And it's just, yeah, it was a lot, to be quite honest. It was a lot for me.
Yeah, no, it's been dead. Definitely, it's a lot to handle. And like for me, this is the couple that I get more sensitive about, because I grew up in the Middle East. I was born and raised in Dubai. So I've definitely seen not this intense, not with like literal, I'm going to kill him on the line, but definitely with the, oh, our community speaking about this. And oh, I heard this from this uncle and this aunt talked about this. And like, oh
the gossip.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, to a lot of families back home, there are families that subscribe to this of like, people are talking about us, so it's bringing shame to the family. Like, that's genuinely a thing that quite a few families think about. Whereas like, I've talked about this on other podcasts where for me, I subscribe more to the mentality in North America. I felt more comfortable with like, I'm my own person. My decisions are my decisions. And like that, like I'm not connected to, oh, anything I do has anything to do with anyone else outside of my family, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's jarring to see all this go down, but it's also more jarring Mari, not just because, like, it's Yazan's life, he should be able to do what he wants, but also it's jarring because we see him go through all this stuff. Meanwhile, Brittany is in Miami visiting her dad, who smiles at everything, has no other emotion but smiling, which I was like, man, I want this guy to deliver all my bad news. Like,
for real.
It's like, sorry to say, Puya, but you owe $500. It's like, okay, thank you, Dad. I appreciate that. But no, she, because like, Brittany's clearly painting a picture in America to her family and her friends that Yazan's this deadbeat who wants her to convert but doesn't want to put any work in. And like, he's like completely brainwashed by his family to do what they're bidding. When in fact, we're starting to see more and more that, no, you know what? The Yazan's religious views are Yazan's religious views and his opinions. And he's the part of the, with his family not wanting her to be part of their family, he's disconnecting from them to be with her. And it's just disturbing because the more and more we get into their story, the more and more it's very clear that once Brittany got the divorce, I think she realized, oh, you know what? I don't really want to rush into anything.
Which
is fine. But it's not fine when the other side of the couple expects it to be rushed because they've done everything to make that happen.
Right. And this is what I definitely wanted to talk to you about with her. It's like, is she in this bubble? Like when she was talking to her sister back in Chicago and when she tells things to her family, like it's not, like you said, it's not anything what the real situation is, but I don't think she's actively lying to them. I think she just does not understand the situation herself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they both are just not, their communication is clearly completely off, because Yazan telling his brother like, oh, it'll be okay, you know, when she converts to Muslim, you'll see, like, he just wants to be like, you know, oh, she may have done things like bad things in the past, but you'll see, I'm not wrong about her. She's going to convert. She's going to be a you know, a good Muslim woman. She's going to be fine. Cool. Right. On the other side, Brittany is like telling her family, I'm not converting. I told him I'm not converting. He knows that. He wants to be independent. I'm trying to push him to be independent. Like, I don't think she really understands the magnitude of what is happening, like, at all. She doesn't get it. She just does not get it. Like, and it's very, very annoying. And it's even more like, it's just more, like you said, jarring because of everything that he's going through. He really is sacrificing a lot. And I get that, like, her moving to another country is a sacrifice, but she just does not see it. And I just, I think, you know how in the this season on 90 Day, there's like going to be a shot of them like on the top of like some mountain or something.
It's her and one of his friends, I'm assuming, because I don't think it's him.
Yes. And I think they start to explain to her what's really going on. I kind of want TLC to like break the fourth wall and like show her the footage of what's going on over there, so she completely understands the situation, because she doesn't get it. You know,
I do think that would help a lot, because I agree with this because I do think that she doesn't understand it. She thinks that, well, like we saw another scene later where she's on the way to the airport and she's like, what have you done for me? You've done nothing for me. That's for you.
Yeah.
She doesn't grasp the magnitude of the situation at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that even when he messaged her about the car and was like, oh, the car got like damaged, I personally didn't see it as him like putting blame on her for anything, but then she responded so hostile that it made me worry.
Very defensive.
Yeah. And I was like, why is this happening?
That was me. I was reading it. I went back. I had to rewind and I was like, did I miss something? Cause it went from 0 to 60 in no time flat. And their communication is so off. It's so off.
It's so hard. It's so hard to watch. Like, anytime they're both on, I feel very uncomfortable. And then, you know, let's quickly go back to the Jordan side of things with the family and wrap that up real quick. So, the dad pretty much tells Yazan's brother. Oh my God, I'm such a mess right now. The dad tells Yazan's brother, hey, tell him if he marries her, he's done. Like, he is done to me. No matter how you look at it. And basically, his brother obeyed, comes out of the, goes in being like, I'm going to vouch for him, and leaves saying, yeah, he needs to not be with her. There's no way. Like, yeah. Like, the fear was put into his brother, and his brother's fine in the father's eyes. So that's how bad this is looking. So then when they meet up, he tells, you know, he tells Yazan everything, and Yazan pretty much is still convinced that he can change. He can fix things. He can prove that he's fine. Like you mentioned, he can prove that, you know, she's in this for the same reasons he's in this. And once she sees all the sacrifices I've done, she will also co-sign and do sacrifices. And then we can both break everything down and build it back up together. And I think that's what Yazan's focusing on. He's like, because like, I love that. And this is how I started to change my tune on Yazan. Like Obaid brings up, have you not seen that she's been posting on Instagram every day? Which I'm like, y'all family's creepy, because if you guys are so against these photos, why are you following her? Why are you looking at her stuff? You know, like stop. Like it's none of your, you know, anyways, whatever.
But it seems to be the same pictures though. Have you noticed
it's like
that?
The same four photos, the same four bikini photos. Yeah. I don't know what she's posting during the time that they're all focused on it, but it doesn't seem to be much because we're not seeing all these different ones. But then I liked Yazan bringing up like, hey, it's not fair to her. It's not fair for me to ask her to change this. I've given up a lot. And then when she comes here, she can give up every like the stuff and we can work together. I think he wants her to come over, see that he's doing all this for her. And that will cause a reaction in her to also change and move through it together. I think that's what he's banking on. That's what he's hoping for. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, she will see how hard I have it and she will get it, because over the phone, she's not getting it. And I think that's what you alluded to, where she doesn't seem to get it. And it looks like we are in for the rude awakening for Brittany at that mountaintop when that scene comes. It's not going to be pretty.
Not at all.
My heart breaks for Yazan. And like, started the season not liking him and his, like, the way he was behaving, but he's definitely been humbled and he's clearly in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, and he just looks like a kicked puppy in like every scene that you see him in. It's just like, it's so just sad. And then like, so Brittany's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go back to Jordan, and then you know, we're gonna move in together. Like, can you imagine? So that's the thing. So you see the gossip, what people are saying now, and then you see her, what her plans were when she said like a few episodes ago, like when they're in Chicago, like, we're gonna get our own place, we're gonna move out, you know, he's gonna show some independence, and then we're gonna see, you know, we're gonna then decide if we want to get married and stuff. Like, girl, that's not how it goes. Like, I just, what research did you do before you decided to move to Jordan? Because my suspicion is a big whopping none. You did none of that. And then bringing her friend, like Angela, I'm gonna bring her my friend. Girl, what? Like, what is happening? Why didn't her father go with her? Like, the excuse, like, oh, if my father comes, then they're going to expect us to get married. So basically, not bringing your father is just another stall tactic. Like, stop it, girl. Stop it. Like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I beg. And that's the thing, is that ultimately, for me, they are not meant to be together. It's not pretty. It's uncomfortable. And, you know, Yazan more and more. And like, here's my biggest, okay, let me just quickly recollect my thoughts.
Right.
When we first met them, Brittany pulled up to the airport with a bottle of alcohol. He was not about that life. He made it clear. It's so tone deaf to me that she's going to fly into Jordan with a shirt that says tequila por favor.
Right.
it's like that's the thing for me, is that I understand. I fully get if there are people have some beliefs that you don't subscribe to, or people follow a, you know, whether like, you know, whatever the case is, whatever beliefs they are, whether they're tied to politics, religion, if you don't believe in them and you don't co-sign them, that is fine. But if you choose to be with them and choose to engage with them, then kind of maybe not, you know, push the topics by bringing stuff up that you know they're not into. You know,
exactly. It's that fine line of like respecting a culture or not giving a crap about a culture, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later with another couple. But Brittany, I think she just has that. It's so American type individualism in her that she just thinks like, oh, like, I get it, but that's not me. Like, but girl, that's not the choice you have here. Like we've said, right. Some countries do not give you the choice to not participate in certain religions like that. Mm-hmm. That, huh? Like,
well, like that's the thing. It's like, as individuals, we have, you know, the Spice Girls once said, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Every person has something like that. If you want to be my, you know, partner, lover, girlfriend, whatever, these are my values. This is my mm-hmm. pillar of beliefs. And this is what I subscribe to. So if you are okay with this list of stuff that I subscribe to, then we can hang. Everything's mm-hmm. good. If you don't, then we just can't, no matter how much we like each other. Because like some people have that where it's like, this is my deal breaker. This is my deal breaker. This is my mm-hmm. deal breaker. So it's just, I don't think she's quite realized that these are his deal breakers, and she still believes that these right. are his family's deal breakers. And
exactly.
And like, unfortunately for Yazan, the only time where she will realize this, that these are his deal breakers, is when she sees him in person, is the thing that he thinks is going to make everything okay, is when they meet. I think when they meet is when she realizes, oh, no, this, we're just not going to vibe. So,
yeah. Ooh, it's so unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to move on if Me you too. Are. And please yep. pick whichever one of the remaining two couples you would like to discuss.
I'm torn because I know who I was going to pick. And then it wasn't them. so now I'm like, well, who's going to be a good ending? Like, who's a good ending? Right.
What's the season for the episode finale?
Yeah. So let me just go with the couple that I guess I have the least amount to talk about within the two, because I have some strong opinions Ooh. On one couple, and I want to finish on them. So let's go with Devin and Jihoon. Yeah, this was a hot mess. Like, this was head to toe hot mess. We should have known we were in for a ride when Devin said, oh, we showed up to the park and there were tents. And she's like, where I'm from, if there are tents in the park, they're selling meth. I was like,
no. I wish she said, where people going to get free meth? I'm like, free meth? What? Like, that's just a thing that's available to people. I feel like yeah.
What parks do you go to, girl? I was dead. So first we get Devin talking to his friends, you know, asking him some questions, and then he gets up and changes a diaper. And so Devin says, okay, it's been weighing on me. I was looking over Junie's. Like, I'm confused because in this first scene, I feel like she said, I looked through his phone and I saw pictures of naked women in his phone. The reason why I say I'm confused is because later down the line, when she's talking to him, she said, oh, I looked over your shoulder. I'm like, which was it, girl? Which was it? But, So she says, you know, I saw just all of these pictures of naked girls on his phone. I'm so embarrassed to ask him about it. So let me ask his friends. Like,
oh my God.
What is this logic? Puya, what is this logic?
I don't understand. Devin's done this now a couple of times where it's like, yeah, I have issues that I don't know who to talk about. So I'm going to go talk about it with not friends of his that I've met before, friends that I've never met. And I'm going to pull them and be like, yo, is this a normal thing that happens in your community? Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is that? And she's fixated on the fact that they are selfies. She keeps referring to them as selfies, indicating that, these could be pictures that were sent to him, not just like racy material that he's viewing, getting off the internet.
Yes. So that's what I was like. So when she first described it, like, then they were like, oh, it's okay, it's fine, all men do it, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, but it's selfies. Like, they make it selfies. So I was like, was he sexting? Because that, to me, that is, you know, very different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to his friend, she thought they were sex. And then I'm like, how long does it take to change a diaper? Because Jesus. So she says, she's thinking, she's having this bad feeling that he's cheated on her. And she's asking his friends, and I'm just like, girl, you just ruined the vibe. Cause once he comes back and he makes a little joke, everybody's just like, awkward now. Like, this was not the appropriate time. This was not the appropriate time or place. I don't know what went through her head to think that that was the appropriate time. But so next, then we get, so Devin confronts him, you know, at a restaurant, and she's like, so this was a little interesting to me. So she's talking to him, and he's like, he gets kind of embarrassed, and he's like, oh, it's girls on my phone. And she's like, but you know, it's selfies. And he's like, oh, they're just downloads. It's just downloads from the internet. Mm-hmm. And, she was like, but you know, it seemed like they were sent to you. And he again says, no, it's downloads. I don't know those women. And I was just, you know, he said he was masturbating. And when she goes to sleep, and then she's like, I think that's cheating. And then I was like, which part, ma'am? Because I don't far. So for me, I am not the selfie time police. I feel like it's dumb to try and police your partner's time by themselves. But like, if they were sex, then yes. Like, if we're getting sex from different women, if we're communicating with different women, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Puya.
We're on the same page. Okay. We're 100% on the same page. I found this to be a little bit ridiculous. Because, so here's the thing. Up until she thought, oh my God, like, he's been communicating with other women, mm-hmm. and he's like soliciting like nudes from them, and he's giving nudes back. That's 1000% cheating.
Yes. I agree.
And like, I get that if she feels self-conscious about him, you know, looking at other material, maybe instead of engaging with her, then that's a whole other ballgame. But I don't know if I would classify that as cheating, right? And I think his whole squad was saying the same thing of like, he's a bit of a man child. So we don't really think highly of him in the family department, but he would never, like, he clearly has eyes for you only. He's clearly with you only. Like, he's not about other people. But to me, all of this, Marian, please correct me if you think I'm wrong. It screams, like, the last couple of episodes, it screams that Devin is trying to find a reason to leave.
Any reason. No, I agree with that. And so, and when she said, I think she legit said hurting someone is cheating. I'm like, girl, that's not
anything that hurts someone is cheating.
It's it hurts. That's not the definition. But granted, I do agree that everybody does have different levels of what they consider cheating.
1000%.
I get that. but like, I feel like that's a boundary you guys need to talk about. And the rest of the conversation, I'm like, girl, this should have been talked about before y'all got married, before you had babies. So she says, so she then goes on, she says, if you're hurting someone, it's cheating. She asks if he cheated on anybody in the past. He said once, then she got mad at him. She harps on him saying that he cheated once on a girl, but then his rebuttal is, I didn't love her, so that's why I cheated, which I'm like, okay. and then he further said, you know, I love you. He continues to reassure her, but then he says, if I didn't love you, I would have worn a condom when we had sex.
God. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so that was a sentence that came out of his mouth.
Right. I was like, that happened. Okay. So and then just finally we close it off with our friend, the stupid egg, like, that came out again. Weren't we looking for it last week? Well, we got it again. Translator egg. And she said, once a cheater, always a cheater, which I'm like, girl, come on now. And it said, once a scammer, always a scammer.
That you could have played that in last week at the shop when she told the guy that owned the store about it. So
right. And then she continues to say she still has this unshakable feeling that he's been unfaithful to her while they were separated, while they were long distance. Mm-hmm. And I say all of this to say, like, girl, this should have been a conversation you had years ago. Like, all of this was conversation that should have been had a long time ago. And I'm like, are you playing this up for the cameras? Are you, like you said, Puya, trying to look for an escape route? Pull the lever, let's get out of here. Like, it was just so weird, yo. It was so weird.
Very, very weird. And I do think that, you know, I like what you said about how every couple, every person has their own threshold of what, you know, is something they don't want in the relationship. And I 100% everyone's entitled to that. So if for her, she's not comfortable with him doing this extracurricular stuff, that is fine. It very clearly, they talked about it. He 100% was like, all right, done. I won't do it anymore. Like, he's game. He's game. He's listening to her. The important thing is communicating. And I do think that what rubbed me the wrong way was that when her friends, his friends reassured her, she was still like, ah, I think they're covering up for him. And then when he reassured her, she's like, nah, I think you're covering up. It's like, at what point are you going to start trusting your partner? Because I do think that their relationship has been strained from Jump Street because of the whole, like, him not having the money he said he has, him not having the job he said he has. Like, there's been enough lies. This relationship was built on some lies, so it makes it hard to trust the foundation. But I did feel like a couple weeks ago when we saw that they were in a new apartment, they had a dog now, everything was looking good, and it was like, okay, maybe she's starting to trust him. But it seems like, no matter what happens, she's never going to be able to let that go. And while I do think you shouldn't be letting go stuff that's happened in your relationship, it's important to also help each other build things back up and move on. Relationships are not easy. Relationships are a work every day. And you are ultimately putting your trust and love in a person, whether you like it or not. So you got to, like, ride the wave. And I feel like there's no give here. And I genuinely feel like she's just trying to find an escape route to leave.
I really do think he was clearly embarrassed by that conversation, but I think he did a good job saying, like, you know, like, I'll do it, you know, I love you, you know, everything that he said, I feel like, was very reassuring, but Devin just was not really trying to hear it, to be quite honest, like you said. So I don't know where this takes them. It seems like some people are afraid to be happy and they like to stand in their own way. So as of right now, you know, that's what it's looking like to me. I don't know. I don't know any of the stuff with them, like, you know, up to now, but it really does just seem like she just refuses to be happy.
Yeah. I mean, let's think about, you know, a partner's thoughts about you will only be reflected when they're around other people and what they truly think of you, right? So let's look at the two examples we have of Devin meeting people who Jihoon knows. And there's been no compliments. There's been no words of affirmation. To the store guy, she was like, yeah, did you know he used to deal with stolen phones? Did you know he used to be shady? And then to his friends, it's, he is an asshole. Like, he is. There's no, like, oh no, you know what? He's a great, like, this or that. There's no, like, affirmation to me, which is an indicator of she just doesn't see him in a positive light, no matter what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It was very, this whole conversation, their whole storyline this week really got me thinking about, you know, we're team sex work over here. Personally, get it how you live it. But I thought it was really funny how she was really trying to, she was like, are you sure these are not from people? Like, you're not communicating with people. Cause at first it did kind of seem like his friends were saying that he was talking to people. And like you said, soliciting nudes. So,
right.
Yeah. Like, I would not be okay with that, but he's saying he just downloading it. So I don't know. I don't know where that truth lies, but he's saying he wants to rectify that situation. So that's a good step in the right direction.
Exactly. Like, I don't know where the truth lies either, but to me, ultimately, my biggest takeaway, the thing I'll focus on is what we did see. And what we did see is him not just literally, but, like, straight up be like, hey, I will literally cut my genitals off. If I do it again.
Right.
She was like, that's extreme, but, like, I believe him. I don't think he would do it, but I believe the intent that's behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no way we can segue from this.
Nope.
But all we can say is, let's just dive into the grand finale here of the couple we started the episode with, Ari and Biniam, or Ari and Baby, depending on what you want to call it. So We immediately dive back into this episode the way we ended the last one, which is they had just, like, Ari had just pulled baby Avi out of the operation room before the circumcision because she didn't feel comfortable about it. And what's it called? She's mad about the whole thing. And then Binium is mad about it falling through. Right. And they had a very uncomfortable talk in the van. But you said you have a lot of opinions on them. So I want to pass it over to you and have you run this last couple here.
Oh, my God. When I tell you, I'm going to take three deep breaths because once I get started, I'm going to keep going.
Go for it.
I have loved hearing y'all coverage about it. And so, like, there's so much because as somebody, as you know, Puya, I have he's almost 2 year old son. He's about 20 months and everything that she's going through, Ari's going through, it's just so fresh to me and it pulls me back into those situations. And I still don't like her and can't be on her side in some of these situations. that's strong. Like Ari, I've mostly been team baby because a lot of the stuff that Ari does is so like, it's so whiny, it's so spoiled brat to me. It's very like, again, the things she says about his culture is very inappropriate to me. I don't like how she just kind of laughs down a lot of his stuff. Mm-hmm. But then again, there was some stuff that I was like, okay, man, you could have waited. Like you guys were saying about the goat. Slaughtering the goat in front of her when she came home. I'm like, yeah, that was a little much. And I think the worst part is he didn't tell her. Like, he's not telling her these things.
The biggest fault to me is just not disclosing that might be a thing that happens. Like,
yeah.
I come from a culture where, like, I definitely have heard and, like, you know, I know that my dad has also engaged in the whole, like, sacrificing a goat for something. But if I wasn't told when I'm going to an outing that, hey, by the way, you're going to watch a goat die in front of you, I would be like a little bit frightened. And also if I just pushed a baby out of me, I don't even imagine where I would be, you know? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hormone changes that you get from pushing a baby out, it's so extreme. Like I don't think I'm a really emotional person, but those like 4 days after I had my son were just like, oh my God, it was just everything just did seem overwhelming. So I don't take that away from her. And like when she arrived and then like the aunties came over and everybody came over that situation actually happened to me. Like some of my family members came over, everybody came over and we had just like came in from the hospital and I literally just started crying. I shut myself into my room and was just crying uncontrollably. And, you know, my mom had to come in and was like, are you good? Because it's not that you don't want to see people. It's not that, you know, they were coming to celebrate our love, celebrate our son. They wanted to help, you know, but it is really, to put it bluntly, it's a mind fuck. Like having a kid is a mind fuck. Especially for us, like we came out of the hospital. We were expecting to be there a little bit longer, but they're like, girl, you healthy. You pushed him out. You good. Get up, go. And so I was like, but I'm not ready. Like it's just so much nerves and just bringing your baby home for the first time. It's scary because there's no doctors to help you. There's no, you know, it's a whole different world now. And so when his family showed up, I was like, oh man, come on. You know, like they're trying to be helpful. They're trying to be nice. I get that. But between what's lost in the translation and how she's feeling at that moment, like you see it, that is your, like your baby. You want some time with him. Like you don't want other people really touching him. Like it's such a, just a maternal thing. And I get it. Her hormones are out of whack, but, calling some of his customs like silly, correct me if I'm wrong, but originally, I think it was before the break when they were talking about getting him baptized in baby's faith, she was okay with it. I thought it wasn't until they said, no, you have to be baptized as well. That's when she was like, oh no. That's not happening because she's, you know, she's Jewish. She's
right.
I don't know, practicing, but that's how she grew up. So I wouldn't have wanted her to convert either. So I found that, like, I agreed with her there. So then when the aunties came, and I took it as like the aunties were like, they're like, oh, that's silly. That's silly. No, you can definitely baptize your baby and not have to be baptized. Because as far as I know from my religions, and you know, that has never been a thing. Like the mother having to be baptized in the same religion, because of the priest said that the teat of the milk or whatever, he has to. Mm-hmm. That's not been a thing that I knew of. So right. When the aunties kind of just brushed it aside, I was like, okay, cool. The aunties got it. You know what I'm saying? Like they're like, we'll find it out. But she took it as like they're taking over everything. And I felt bad for her in that sense, but I think she was being a little sensitive there. And like I said, I don't know, like, let me let you jump in, but wasn't she originally okay with it?
That's how I took it. I definitely took it as she was more open to it. And then as things went along, like she said a line in this episode that I think kind of sums up her whole thoughts, is that one of us has been winning everything and one of us has been losing everything.
Bold letters in my notes. I was like, how can that be a thing when you're parenting or you're in a relationship? That thought should never cross your mind in any situation. So, sorry. So let me keep going.
No, go for it.
So all of those other episodes, it was just building. I'm like, girl, like, come on now. Like, this is kind of what you signed up for. You signed up to come to this country and raise your child in this country. Like, okay. So then in the last episode, they went to get the circumcision, and I agreed with you because they were not originally there for the circumcision. Like you said, they were there for the vaccines, you know, and I get it. Like when your baby is crying, especially those first day, it was like first 2 days, it is very hard. Like it's heart wrenching. And she was just like, no, not today. I don't want to do it. And I think that was fine. I mean, she should have went about it a different route, maybe, you know, maybe just like explain it. Don't just run out. But I was like, okay, all right, that's not that bad. Okay. You know, I get it. She's very hormonal. Now, the beginning of this episode, when they're in that van talking and she's just like screaming, I don't want to say nonsense, but like, I found it quite interesting that she repeatedly said, my baby, my baby, my baby in his face, like you guys alluded to it last week. But I think she is using that as a warning and a weapon against baby as every time she says it. I think she knows that's the button and she wants to press it when she feels like there's no other option. And she keeps saying, like you said, she was pressured by him. She was pressured by her family. That was another thing. I'm like, girl, I don't understand why this is such a big thing to you, because this isn't new to your culture. Your culture has brisk. Your cultures have circumcisions, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So, and she even said in the last episode that, she'd rather a surgeon do it than the moil or whatnot. So I really was like, what are we arguing here? It almost sounded like an argument just the sake to argue. And to go back again to last episode, but when baby was like, I'll make the decision for you. It's okay. I'll make the decision. I get how she could have taken that differently. But to be quite candid, Jesus, that's what my husband did. I was like, it's up to you. You're going to make the decision on circumcision because that's more your area. I'm designating that to be your area. And he made the decision. And I was happy about that. I was like, because I get some of the things she was saying about choosing his body and stuff like that. But like you guys were saying, getting that done anytime after being a baby is like the worst. So so I was I was again back and forth about it because it's not a religious thing for us. So I did. I let my husband said he'll decide, and I let him decide. And I thought that was a help to me. Ari didn't see it like that. She's continually feeling like she's being pressured to do things and pressuring to do things. And I thought she did make some good points about how she wants to be like active in her, like her baby. But like you said, they gave her the name. It was like the name for the baptism. And then like, then the circumcision thing came up, but I really don't think she didn't want him to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like nothing in my mind made me think that she didn't want him to get it, because again, it's something that's prevalent in her culture. It's prevalent in his culture. She was just saying like, you know, he was screaming. I was scared. I was stressed. I'm so stressed out. He was screaming. And baby was like, I get that, you know, but you know, it's my baby too. You know, we agreed on this. And I was just like, girl, don't torture yourself, man. Don't torture. Why are you standing in the room? Any thoughts so far, Booyah, about anything I said?
I mean, I'm very appreciative that you took the reins on this, because I don't think I could have spoken to this as well as you have. My ultimate takeaways are that I have noticed the whole my baby of it all.
Yeah.
And I do think that if we think to Binyam real quick, he has already lost a child to someone else because he doesn't see them anymore. So it does feel a little bit like it's the whole my baby thing. Like every time she says it, and I completely co-sign the fact that, you know, she just gave birth. Like this is like it. Like the maternal instincts are there. This is like she did this, right? So the is there, but also I'm like, a part of me is like, I can't imagine. I imagine Binyam's getting hurt every time he's hearing this, or maybe he's not comprehending it. But I think that you know, we talked about this last week. I would like to reiterate it this week. Of the, if the circumcision is happening, if your child is going to be circumcised at some point, it has to be now. It really can't be like a month down the line, 2 months. Every month added on is going to make it more painful for this baby. So I think like my dad probably like went, like I remember some story talking about my dad where like his, like in his time, in his world, like circumcision wasn't readily available to everybody and it happened later for some people. So I was like, yeah, that just sounds excruciating. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
But
no, and I do think that she did seem more open to some things that she's no longer open to.
Right. And which is confusing.
Think, yeah. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that she just, she grew up and lived in a relatively sheltered environment.
Yep.
And she didn't have to make these hard decisions. They were made for her, but they were made for her by people she like signed off to, her family, her parents. If her parents said something, she'd do it. No problem. Yeah. And one thing I did notice was it sounds like the circumcision happened not just because Binyam wanted it. Her parents also pushed her to do it. So in the car ride over to the hospital, she was like, I'm not happy that you're making me do this. I was like, Ari, your parents have also made you do this. Don't act like if he had wanted this only, you would have let this happen, because you have. Exactly. And I do agree with you. Calling his culture, his upbringing, his beliefs stupid and silly, I don't like that at all.
I don't like it at all.
Because, like, it's you know, there's a fine line between I don't believe these things to I'm going to disrespect these things.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like, yeah, and I think I've mentioned this before where I was seeing someone who said, oh, fasting is so dumb and logically makes no sense. And I was like, I'm sorry. Do you have to do it? No. Then why do you care? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So with all that being considered, and again, the fact is, it's not like she would have not wanted the circumcision. Her thing was, I don't want my son to be in pain, which I totally get. Hearing the baby cry was giving me feelings. So I was like, if I was her, I would have left the building. I would have just been somewhere else, because I know I'm not going to want to handle it. I don't want to be around it.
Yeah.
Because she was like, this is a cry that I've never heard before. This is worse than anything. I was like, well, of course, like circumcision is not a pretty thing. Yeah, it's just, I don't, the thing is for me, I think that, Binyam says something, which I, to, you know, grill him a little bit. So Binyam says that he thinks she needs time to get used to these things. And I was like, yes, Binyam. Very good observation.
Yeah,
he said, I hope it takes less time, so I'm happy. I was like, okay, Binyam, calm down. Like, this
calm
is not
down. Yeah.
Yeah. You have no right to be like putting a timeline on this. She's a first time mother. She's in a foreign country. She's getting, she's not like through no fault of her own. She's been sheltered. So she's going to have to like find some harsh realities of life solo and with you, who she is, for lack of a better term, unsure about by the sounds of it.
I have so, coddled. I said you could tell she's very coddled.
Yes.
And which is fine. But, you know, the baby came early. The parents mm-hmm. weren't there. She needs coddling. And mm-hmm. I think baby's not going to give it to her, mostly because I also wrote down that this is his second kid compared to her first kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, to him, this is all kind of like standard operating procedure in a sense. And for her, it's all new. And also, I just don't think he knows how to coddle her in the way that she's known to be coddled. So it's very unfortunate because, yes, being a new mother, having all those hormones, and then being in a new country, you only have him. You don't have your family. You know, you have his family. But just like it's stressful. It is overwhelming. And I do feel bad for her. Mm-hmm. But this is why you have a birth plan. This is why you make these decisions before the baby comes, so that stuff like this does not interfere. That's what we did. We wrote our birth plan out like gangbusters. We decided the mm-hmm. circumcision beforehand. We decided, you know, the back, all of that beforehand. And because once that baby comes, again, you're not thinking like you would have logically. So that's why you need to have that stuff done in advance. And like, it was better for us, because our son, he got circumcised like 2 days at, like, right before we even left the hospital. So mm-hmm. and they don't show you, you know, here I'm three stories up while he's down there. So right. It's way easier. So I don't understand why. I really feel like if she was going to go through it, I don't think she should have tortured herself like that by being in the room or being in the hallway to hear mm-hmm. those screams. And honestly, once it's done, they don't know. It heals in like a day, 2 days, really, not that right. that long. So it was just, I felt bad for her, but like, girl, but some of this you're putting on yourself. Like, you trust your partner. And that's another thing. She's not trusting baby. She's feeling overrun by baby. And I do feel like all of this stuff that they are talking about now, they talked about before the baby came out. They talked about this, at least some of it. I know the baptism was still in the air, the name was still in the air, you know, but like, I don't know. She's trying to do it all. Like, if you're already overwhelmed, don't try and do it all as well, you know, like, let him help. But she doesn't see this help. She sees it as him taking over.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that she does see it as a takeover. She does very clearly see it as every interaction has a winner and a loser.
Yeah, man.
And that's to her own detriment, to be honest, because
it is
progress if they are not on the same page, if they're not on the same team. So I, you know, wish them luck. But
yeah,
the more and more interactions we see, the more and more I'm skeptical on them, you know, being together. Because I think the whole, like, coddled is important to keep focus on as a word moving forward with them. Because I also personally would say I'm someone who was coddled growing up. I definitely think I came through sheltered. When I moved to Canada alone, I was like fish out of water, did not know what I was doing. It was a hard, harsh reality to face, with learning how to manage money, fend mm-hmm. for myself, eat like nutritional food, eat healthy, mm-hmm. be healthy in general. And it was a rough time. It was a rough road. So I do think that, you know, coming from a world like that, the privilege is great. If it's a nice thing, you know, I'm happy that my parents cared about me so much that maybe they overcared, but also mm-hmm. there, you have to have the self-reflection, right? You have to be able to look at yourself and be like, you know what? I'm coming from a little bit of a place of privilege, and I need to understand that we're in this together. We're a damn team, and we need to do this thing together. And I don't think she quite sees it that way.
I don't think she does either. And that's really unfortunate, because parenting, they're not even married. They're still technically in a relationship. But even she was like, I don't know how this relationship is going to go. Like, there can never be winners and losers when you're parenting. It's just,
it's like, you know, there are winners and losers when there's an opposition. There's no winners and losers in a team. Win as one, you lose as one in a team. And a relationship, a marriage, a family, this is all teamwork. None of it is, you know, solo play.
So, they really need to talk it out.
Mm-hmm, they do. And I like, you know, wish them luck. I do think mm-hmm. that having, I don't know. The thing is, we haven't seen Ari's mom yet, right? In a minute. I'm curious if Ari's mom will side with her or will she talk sense into her? I can't tell because I remember her mom was like the voice of reason a little bit.
Yeah.
And like she was a different person around her mom. So I'm curious if the, when her family comes through, if that's going to change. Because I remember seeing her next time on, I believe when they brought the season back after the hiatus of his family and her family talking about like the baptism and the religious upbringing and stuff.
Right.
So outside of that, I wonder if the mom's going to be like, hey, listen, so this is what we need to do. Also, the birth plan thing. I mean, I swear people put like, compared to how much words, like thought they put behind this, people put more work into deciding where to rent an Airbnb from than or who's going to be their cell phone provider. Like, I feel like there was just so many, because like, here's the thing, like, you know, you know, the baby's coming. It's, you know, it's 9 months. I feel like there's some base things you can at least talk about. Right. I mean,
yeah. Oh, a lot.
Without a intricate plan. And like, I think the base things come up to be like, hey, so are we both religious? What kind of religious upbringing do we want?
Yes,
to
bring to the kids? That is the bare minimum. That's what you should talk about when you're dating.
Right.
Before you even have the baby.
Before you, yeah, before you get to this part, it's like, so are there, again, go through the Yazan and Brittany thing of what are our deal breakers?
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that, oh my God, I feel lighter after this conversation. Oh, I feel good.
Great. I'm glad. That was so fun.
On that note, we're done here. Mari, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming through. I know I gave you a bit of short notice, but you packed a whole punch and then some with this recap, and I can't thank you enough.
Again, I am so glad I got to talk about The Other Way, because these couples are they're way more compelling than Happily Ever After. And this was just a great episode to be thrusted into. So I'm glad I got to come on here with you, Puya.
Yeah, the pleasure was all ours, Mari. Where can people find you on social medias and such?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. I'll be there talking about Bachelorette right now, The Amazing Race, anything, just chopping it up. So feel free to at me. I'll probably at you back.
A little bit of wrestling, perhaps. Yeah.
A lot of bit of wrestling. Yep.
It's all happening. And, you know, keep an eye out for Mari's Twitter for anything that she'll be involved with in the future. I have a feeling we're going to see Mari, even though Big Brother's concluded.
Hopefully.
And you can find me on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism for all three. We'll be back with the Masked Singer podcast with Liana this week, talking about Group C. We're going to get to see who else leaves this group. I'm very curious and I can't wait to talk about it all. And then I will be doing some things over on my Twitch channel. I've been, you know, I stream three times a week there. Sunday nights are Among Us nights, so be sure to check that out if that interests you. You can see some familiar faces from the RHAP network involved and playing. Definitely a fun time. Check that out.
Just waiting for my invitation.
Mari, you're putting me on the spot. I'll throw you in there. I'll throw you in on the list. How about that?
Please.
You got it. And then last but not least, if you enjoy the product, if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a rating and review. It helps out a lot. It allows people to find us. And it also gives me the opportunity to read some feedback about your thoughts on the podcast. So if you would like to do that, I would be very grateful. And you can do that over at robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, the number 0, day fiance. I would appreciate it. And I thank you. For now, our journey is over. We're at the destination. We're going to get off this train. That is a Hot Mess Express. Until next time, take care. And just be happy. Okay. How about that? Just be happy. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.